You're listening to A Little Less of a Hot Mess, Off the Couch Combos with a Therapist, me, Caitlin Soule. I'm a mom to three kids. I'm an author. I'm a therapist. I'm a business owner. And I'm a little bit of a messy human trying to figure out so many of the same things you are when it comes to life. In this podcast, we'll talk about things like mental health in general. We'll talk about marriage and motherhood and parenting and grief and loss and family relationships and friendships and all the things that are sometimes kind of sticky and hard to talk about. So join me as we work together on how to feel like a little less of a hot mess so we can enjoy more of the good stuff. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of A Little Less of a Hot Mess, Off the Couch Combos with a Therapist, me, Caitlin Soule. I would love to talk about this term, gentle parenting. I get a lot of questions, or I guess maybe more so like comments or anecdotes on the idea of what gentle parenting is and isn't. There's a lot of confusion, I think, around the term. And I think rightfully so. If I'm going to be honest, and you'll hear why in a minute, I think the term gentle parenting is a little bit misleading and even misused. So when I think of gentle parenting, I'm just going to say this out the gate. Excuse me. If it were up to me and I were like somebody important, I would like to suggest renaming the term gentle parenting, because I think what might be a more appropriate name for gentle parenting would be attuned parenting, to be able to be attuned to your children's needs and where they're at developmentally and where they're at kind of in their unique position in life. So, I think that is one of the things that's troublesome about gentle parenting is it just right out the gate sounds like very permissive and it sounds like loosey-goosey and we're just kind of like let whatever happen and it doesn't sound like we're addressing our kids from a place of confidence or leadership. And I don't think people like that, and I understand why. But what gentle parenting really is, if we like look at some of the literature behind it and the research behind it and also how experts talk about it, is it's this kind of approach to parenting that is a positive parenting approach and takes into consideration the child's developmental level, their developmental level, their abilities, and also tries to understand like behind this kind of concept that behind every behavior, there's meaning. So behind behavior, there's meaning. So we're immediately, you might hear one of my favorite psychologists, Dr. Becky, says this a lot. Instead of assuming that children are just like behaving bad because they're bad, the assumption in gentle parenting, or as I would like to call it, attuned parenting, is that all kids are good inside. And Dr. Becky also says this wonderful kind of like reminder that kids are born with all the feelings and none of the skills. I heard her say that on a podcast the other day. I was like, yes, that's so true. Kids are born with all the feelings and none of the skills. So attuned parenting or gentle parenting is acknowledging that and acknowledging that our job as parents is to be there to guide them and to help them develop the skills and tools needed to cope better with their feelings. And so I think if we're really getting at what gentle parenting is, it's like this strong, steady, sturdy leadership at its best. And the goal of gentle parenting is to raise children who grow up to be adults who have higher emotional intelligence. And by the way, emotional intelligence is a larger predictor of success later on in life, and not much later on. I mean, I think starting in, you know, as soon as kids can have friends and social interactions, emotional intelligence is really important. It's a higher predictor, I'll finish that sentence, of success than IQ. So it is the most important thing we can do is to help our children develop emotional intelligence. And so the tricky part about that is, I'm just going to call it out right here, is that a lot of us struggle with this, right? Like a lot of us either weren't raised to understand emotions very well, maybe because our parents didn't, or just because we live in a culture or society that hasn't historically prioritized emotional intelligence. And so we might struggle with our own emotions and feelings. And I know definitely in parenting, it's such a big trigger for us because, again, remember, kids are born with all the feelings and none of the skills. And so when we have to deal with those big feelings, we get triggered ourselves and then end up kind of lacking the emotional regulation skills to like calm the hell down. And so that can be really tricky. This parallel process is happening, right? Of here we are trying to help our kids deal with their big feelings and emotions, all the while we're coming up alongside of them trying to deal with ours. And that is really, really tricky. I deal with that all the time. You know, and I'm someone who I think has kind of more knowledge about this stuff than the average Jane because I studied it and I work with it on a daily basis, but I still struggle. I'm human. And, you know, I think all that to say is we all struggle with that. So I like to think of gentle parenting, attuned parenting, as a moving towards your child in a way that is empathetic and understanding and building connection. And in order to build that connection, we have to like be working on our own kind of emotional resilience and intelligence as well as theirs. Okay, I want to give some concrete examples of gentle parenting or attuned parenting because I think that's where a lot of us like kind of get confused, or we feel like, you know, we see that parent kind of do that thing that we're like, well, that sounds like really understanding and nice, but like, I don't want to be that parent. It's not okay that my kid just like run out of the store with the candy even though they didn't buy it. Or it's not okay that my kid hits me when they're upset. And I don't want to just be like, it's okay, honey, you're having big feelings, hit away, right? I think that's unfortunately how we think of gentle parenting, or definitely how it's like kind of negatively portrayed in society and in the media, certainly, and on social media. At its best, gentle parenting looks like, I'll just give you an example. Here's what I came up with. And it's based on real life, obviously, because I have three kids. So say your four-year-old is like in Target or something, and they start, We spend a lot of time in Target. Not as much as we used to. I will caveat that. But when my kids were really little, I feel like I just like spent an inordinary amount of time wandering the aisles of Target with them, just trying to entertain them, which always was a bad idea because it was triggering for them and triggering for me because they always wanted stuff. Not good for like me having to deal with those big tantrums, but also not good for the bank account, right? Okay, back on track. Your four-year-old's at the store, you know, they want candy. And you say, no candy right now. And of course, you know, they want that candy and it's normal for them to want that candy, right? It's at eye level. Of course they want it. And so they start tantruming, throwing a fit, maybe crying or saying, no, I want it now, whatever it is, right? Instead of, you know, saying, sure, you can have it. Okay, whatever, just this one time. It's okay, sweetie. It's okay to want candy. Here we go. Or instead of saying, like, knock that off right now, which, by the way, I have been totally, totally guilty of. Again, I am not a therapist when I'm with my kids. I'm a parent. But more attuned parenting would look like maybe getting down to their eye level and saying something along the lines of, you know, I really understand you want that candy right now. It's hard to want things we can't have, but still the answer is no. Okay, then the kid continues to cry. It's not like they're like, oh yeah, okay, mommy, you're right. That's so intelligent. You're right. I changed my mind. I don't want that candy. That is not what they do. They're still going to throw a fit. And your job is to not necessarily stop them from having their feelings, right? Your job is to say it's okay to have those feelings, and still the answer is no. And, you know, if it escalates and they start hitting or throwing things, it's okay to have those feelings. It's not okay to hit or throw. And then, you know, as Dr. Becky says, which I love, is it's okay to like then hold your child's wrist so they can't hit. It's okay to like, you know, pick them up and move them. I'm not advocating, nor is anybody advocating for being physical with your kid in a way that hurts them or abuse or anything like that. But sometimes, in a very real way, we have to protect our children first and protect ourselves, right? So, you know, it's, again, I think the key here is when we're kind of pulling from attuned parenting, we're really wanting to focus on how can I both validate my child's emotions let them know that it's okay to have those feelings, and then guide them in, you know, on how to express and show those feelings in a way that's a little bit more appropriate. And that happens over time and with a lot of practice. Again, this doesn't like make for very like compliant kids, this type of parenting. You know, this is why I think you have so many adults from like the older generations saying like, oh, kids these days are so crazy or not meant, or, you know, don't have any manners or aren't behaved, is because the goal of modern parenting isn't to like raise kids that are perfectly behaved and compliant, although that feels nice sometimes. We are actually trying to raise children, and I'll say a big collective we, I can't speak for everybody, that have emotional intelligence and that are resilient and that know how to move through the world. In fact, I think we're trying to raise kids that eventually need less help in things like therapy, or have less, you know, struggle. Not, we're always going to have struggle, but have less struggle with their mental health because they have the foundation to understand what to do with their feelings. They're very human and normal feelings. And so that kind of goes into my next point, which is I think what's tricky about talking about gentle parenting with other people of different generations, I'm just going to say older generations, right? Maybe grandparents, you know, or maybe aunts and uncles, whatever it might be, is that, you know, it's really different than the parenting approach that they likely had and the way that they were likely parented. You know, for many generations before millennials and Gen Z parents, the approach to raising children seemed to come from like this power over instead of power with. So power over is I'm the boss of you. You will do what I say no matter what, right? That whole compliance, authoritative, authority figure, that sort of like, this is my ship. I'm the captain. What I say goes, right? And I'll get back to that analogy because I do think we are the captain of our ship, absolutely, as parents. But there's a different approach we can take in our leadership, the one that I've been speaking about, that is even more powerful. So, you know, the power over is I will control you. And the power with is, hey, we're here together. I'm here with you. We'll figure this out. I love that saying, actually. Like, I really believe we can figure this out together. Those two approaches are really different. And we didn't just come up with this like modern parenting approach or gentle parenting approach, attuned parenting, whatever we want to call it, out of the blue. It wasn't just like, oh, you know what, let's just try something new. We came up with this approach, again, collectively, and I will say like researchers and psychologists and doctors and people who really know about development and children's mental health and wellness and families' mental health and wellness. And more importantly, like I think people who know what creates resilient humans have come up with like this notion, or kind of like, I guess they've used the research to understand that children end up doing much better and end up feeling much better and kind of, you know, navigating life better if they have a sturdy foundation from which to do so. And that sturdy foundation, it has to start with the understanding of their emotions and feelings, so both they can understand themselves better, but then so they can understand other people too. Right? Friendship and connection is such an important part of our overall wellness. And if we don't understand or validate our own emotions, like how the heck are we going to do that with other people? And I think, honestly, not to go on a whole nother tangent, but that's what's landed so many adults in the doors of therapy offices these days, is that they are struggling to, amidst all the craziness in the world and all the pressures, they're struggling to do the very basic work. And it doesn't feel basic, but the very basic work, primitive work of how to understand emotions and feelings so that they can better understand their kid. That's really hard. So I think, you know, when we're speaking with people of older generations, again, maybe grandparents, like we don't have to come at it as like my way's better, your way was shit. Like, you know, I think it's just coming at it with some empathy and understanding for our parents, your parents, parents in general, were doing the best they could with the information they had at the time. All this new information, new-ish information, is coming from a place of research and coming from a place of curiosity of what could work better. is coming from a place of recognizing like we are in a huge mental health crisis in America. And I think that's why there's so much more attention being paid to, and rightfully so, how we raise our children and how we approach raising our children. So I think, you know, this question of like, okay, so how does gentle parenting, I think I've already spoken to this, like serve our kids today? Like, how does it better serve our kids than the other types of parenting, more authoritative parenting or power over parenting? I mean, I think it's a little bit obvious, but if we need a little bit more reassurance or just kind of like a different way to say it, I think, you know, it better serves our children because it decreases, or it has the power to decrease the shame. And I think this is really it. Decrease the shame they feel for having emotions, like just for having emotions or feelings. It's just part of being human. I mean, think about how maybe when you were a kid or somebody you knew, maybe your partner or a good friend said that they would never cry in front of their parents. They only cried at night in their bed or in the shower because they didn't want to see their parents. They didn't want their parents to see them crying. That's because they didn't want to feel the shame, right? There was this message that they were getting from their parents that was like, it's not okay to be sad. I only want you when you're happy or content. And, you know, you're only allowed when you're feeling, you know, happy, content, or when I don't have to deal with your big feelings. And that feels like abandonment. So by allowing our kids to feel how they feel, we're decreasing the shame around having feelings. And we're decreasing the shame, and we're allowing them to understand their emotions better, understand other people's emotion. And as a therapist, I know that one of the biggest fears adults have when they come into the doors of therapy is whether or not they're truly like good or worthy. And eventually we get to that. It's not like they come into therapy and they're like, I'm here because I want to know if I'm good enough. But eventually when we deal with whatever it is they came in for, whether it's a relationship issue or anxiety, at the core of it is often this one question is, am I enough? Am I worthy? Or this fear that I'm not. I'm not enough. I'm not good. I'm flawed. And so I know that if the adults that find themselves at least walking through my doors of my therapy office were raised like using some of these principles of gentle parenting, they'd at least be better able to separate their behaviors and mistakes from who they truly are. Like they know that even though like maybe they veered off path or they made a mistake or they acted in a way that was not in line with their values, they were struggling, they know that they were still worthy and capable. And I really think that that's the key to resilience and acceptance, right? Resilience and acceptance are these big parts of wellness. And so I really do believe that if we can kind of move away from this idea that gentle parenting is permissive parenting, I didn't say that before, but there's a term that's been in psychology for a long time called permissive parenting. It's one of the, I think there's like three types of parenting. It's permissive, authoritative, and authoritarian. And authoritative is kind of been the desirable approach from psychologist's standpoint because it's that sturdy leadership approach. And authoritarian, is it the reverse? Anyways, don't quote me on this, but authoritarian, and I know it's one or the other, is the power over, I will control you, you will do what I say kind of parenting. And permissive is not great either, right? Because that is that approach that, you know, let kids do whatever they want, whatever they feel. And kids aren't able to do that. I'm sorry. But, you know, I have a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 9-year-old. And if they made all the choices, like, it'd be mayhem. They're not able to make choices, adult choices yet. So we can't be overly permissive. I think the goal, and again, we're not always going to get it right, I certainly don't, is to move towards how can we be more attuned to what it is my kids need, what it is I need. And from there, we can, you know, build this sturdy, steady foundation. Again, not perfect, not without tantrums, not without tears, not without struggle. But at the end of the day, like remembering that we're trying to set our kids up to grow into adults. And Yeah. And I think it's the right way. I do. And I don't say that about a lot of things, because I don't think there's just like one way to approach things. But when it comes to raising children, I do believe the modern parenting techniques, the approach, forget techniques, I guess just the approach, the assumption that kids are good inside, again, as Dr. Becky says, is accurate. And maybe not accurate. It's just, it's good. It's making this generous assumption about our children. And from there, I think really gives them the room and space they need to grow and thrive. Okay. So I'm going to leave it at that for today. I love talking about parenting. I'm deep in parenting. Again, I specialize in parenting in my work as a therapist, but by no means am I an expert, because I just don't really think anyone is. But I do think that there are a lot of really great resources out there around gentle and more attuned parenting, and I highly recommend you check those out. Also, if you feel like you need a little guidance from a therapist or from a coach around this, a therapist around this, I highly recommend you reach out to somebody in your area, or connect with other like-minded parents who are doing the same work. Moms and dads alike, I think this is really important work. This is how we're going to break cycles. This is how we're going to change, you know, the things that we don't like. I hate to say this, but like about ourselves, whether that be like, you know, you don't like that you have a hard time crying in front of others, or you don't like that it's hard for you to express your feelings and it's not your fault. That's something that you learned. And so we're going to break that cycle by parenting our kids differently. All right. Lastly, I just want to say, I hope you had a nice holiday. I know it was just Thanksgiving, and I know that can be a lot. Holidays bring up a lot for us. And so wherever you are today, I hope you're doing something for you, maybe out on a walk, or, you know, just taking a minute to yourself. And I look forward to getting to have more conversations with you soon. Cheers. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of A Little Less of a Hot Mess. I just wanted to share a couple quick ways you can support the work I do. You can subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. You can also head to Amazon or head to my website to check out my latest book, A Little Less of a Hot Mess, The Modern Mom's Guide to Growth and Evolution. Leave a review, purchase if you haven't already. And if you're looking for therapy services or for yourself or a loved one, head to my group private practice website, which is bayareamoderntherapy.com. Have a beautiful week.